As I continued reading on through Colossians and keep coming to this section in Paul's letter to the believers in Colossae, the more I pondered this, the more I wondered what direction Paul was really pointing here in this. And as I read through some of these things that he's telling the believers to deal with in their lives, of course, they're the things very common to us as human beings that we struggle with as far as sin in our lives. But then as I went on and some of the things that really jumped down at me, I wondered, well, is Paul really talking about dealing with our sin, or is he really talking about dealing with our guilt from that sin? As you know, as we've been learning, Paul's been writing to these people about the false teachers of Paul's day in those churches and those amongst those believers that were teaching that what is really important is what one knows, what one does, and what one believes about certain things. And these false teachers had been misdirecting the people off of the straight and narrow path of Jesus Christ and onto many other things, knowing certain philosophical ideas, being in the know about certain things, doing special and certain things that we have to do, they were teaching that needed to be done, and also certain things that people had to believe or they weren't true followers of Christ. And as I think back on a lot of this, the false teachings that Paul was dealing with of that day were misdirecting and misguiding the people in terms of exalting the person. In other words, the false teachers telling me that I had to believe certain things and do certain things to really be accepted by God, and that there were things I had to abstain from and so on and so forth. And the purpose of their teaching was to exalt me, to bring me to a state where I felt really holy and really special to God. And it was a personal benefit to me, sort of like the me generation we live in today. Everything revolves around me. You know, I want it to satisfy me. I want to be happy. I want people to cater to me. We live in the same culture that these false teachers were teaching in, trying to emphasize the importance of the me, so to speak, in pleasing God. And Paul comes to a point in chapter 2 where he says to them, you need to live in Christ. You need to live in Christ. And Paul goes over all of the negatives first. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe these teachers. Don't listen to what they're telling you about these things. And why in the world do you still do the old things when you're supposed to be a new person because you died with Christ? Why do you still follow the old ways? So Paul was kind of challenging them with the negatives first, really digging in and asking the question, why do you still live this way? Why do you believe these guys? Why do you listen to them? And we asked the question last week, so where do we start? And first he told us that we need to set our hearts on things above and set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because all the things the teachers were teaching involved earthly things, earthly works. And Paul says, no, focus first on heaven and God's gift of Jesus Christ, focusing on Jesus, making Jesus the focal point of your life. And he told them that you are new creations. You died with Christ and you're raised now with Christ. Your identity has changed. So when he comes to chapter 3 is really a pivotal point in this letter where he begins by first of all saying, think this way. You're a new creation. You have a new identity. Think this way. Follow Christ. And now he continues from verse 5 all the way through to the end of the book of Colossians by saying to them, act this way. So he's saying, think this way and act this way, sort of like in the letter of saying, don't listen to this, don't believe this, don't do these things. They can't save you, and they don't make you more holy in the sight of God. Think like this and act like this. And that's what he gets to today. And you see, when we read over this section, which today I'm only going to take a chunk out of it, we're seeing that the concern is now for others. Because to the Christian, we don't live in the me with the me concept. We live with the us and you concept. In other words, how we live our lives we live them to benefit us and others more so than myself. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? So theologically, Paul's challenging us to live like Jesus did. And we know that's a hard road to walk, isn't it? If you've been a Christian for very long at all, you know that's a hard road to walk. And it seems almost impossible sometimes, to the point where people give up because they say, I can't do this. This is beyond me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the perseverance. I just can't do this. And Paul's basically saying, listen to this. You need to be patient and you need to work on it day by day. He begins this section by saying, because you are a new creation, you have a new identity, think this way, set your minds and your hearts on things above, and put to death the things of the earth. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, he's saying the wrath of God's coming. God isn't happy with these, and God is going to discipline and destroy because people are living in these ways. He said, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now, there's the temptation here for the preacher to take each one of them individually and draw this out and expound on what each one means and what it means in our life today. I'm not going to go there because I don't really believe that's what Paul was getting at. Paul leaves this to the individual relationship in the heart of the believer in God to wrestle with these. And you know, folks, when I look at these things, I don't say, oh, no, I don't do those things. Because if I'm honest with myself, I don't just do one at one time or another. I do them all because we're human beings. We have this earthly nature. Notice he doesn't say put to death your earthly nature. Because we're human beings, we're earthly beings. And though we have been transformed and have a new identity in Christ and we have a spiritual nature to us, The age-long war that's waged in us is between the spirit and the flesh. The spirit is saying no, and the flesh is saying yes because it feels good. Paul doesn't say put to death the earthly nature because that'll be done when we die, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. He's saying put to death the things that belong to the earthly nature, the things that temptation has the power over in the flesh. As long as we live in the flesh, we're going to be wrestling with that. But don't despair and don't feel guilty. He's saying put to death. In the King James Version, he says mortify, which means to deaden, to subdue figuratively, to take the life out of them. So how do we take the life out of these things? If we're honest with ourselves, and we can't just point to one or another, and Paul gives a second list here, we have to be honest with ourselves and say, well, you know, we're human beings, and at some point or another, we all sin and fall short of God's glory, and I can point to one or the other, and all of a sudden I feel pretty guilty. And people say, but you're a Christian. I know, but you're a preacher. I know, but I'm still in the flesh. I'm still a human being. You see, and I find comfort in the Apostle Paul saying, the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing, and the things that I want to do, I can't seem to do. Wretched man that I am, who's going to save me? And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Because Paul knows that this is the struggle of the human being, especially the Christian, that we wrestle with these things. And we know God's going to save us ultimately. Put to death the earthly nature. It's sort of like taking the trash out, you know? In our culture today, and sometimes it seems like we're recycling the trash in our lives, doesn't it? Spiritually. Like we just keep recycling. I keep doing the same thing over and over again. I keep doing the same thing. Why can't I get over this? Why can't I quit this? And ultimately, which is another sermon for another day, the only way we can put to death what belongs to the earthly nature is by having Christ in our lives and the power of the Holy Spirit and turning to God's word when those temptations are born in our lives, when they come into our lives, turning to God's word, or maybe stopping in prayer, or maybe turning and running, literally walking away from a situation, or maybe just simply turning our head and looking another way so we don't see something that causes our mind to go in places it shouldn't go. You know what I'm saying? Paul says, put to death the earthly nature, and this is how we do it. Secondly, he says in verses 8 through 10, speaking of the continuance of this, now, he says, well, first he says, you used to walk in these ways, in the way, life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such thing as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And don't lie to each other. Don't lie to each other. The King James Version says, put off such things. Put off such things. Take them off. Sort of like taking a garment off. You know, I was going to talk about that today with the dirty socks with the kids and a pair of clean socks. When our socks are dirty, we take them off and we get a clean pair, don't we? We don't get showered up, put clean clothes on, then put dirty socks back on, do we? We get a clean pair and we wash the dirty ones. And isn't that the way the Christian life is? The socks are new. As a new Christian is cleansed and new by Jesus Christ. And whenever they get dirty with sin, we go back to the Redeemer, the cleanser, and we ask for cleansing, and he cleanses us. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He cleans us, and we start over again. When we get dirty, we go back to him, and he cleanses us, and we keep going, and we keep going. And after a while, those socks are going to be worn, aren't they? They're going to get holes in them. And literally, they're going to die. That's the Christian story. We go through all these cycles through our lives, and someday we're going to have holes in us and be ragged and worn to the point of death. He says, put off, take off these things, get rid of them in your lives. And as we see these things, these practices sort of give way to these attitudes of rage and anger, filthy language, and we think about all of these things in our culture today, and they're so prevalent in our culture, and they're so prevalent in the church and among Christians. Sadly, I don't want to get into this because there's the temptation to really dig in here and start pointing fingers. And folks, Christians don't point fingers. We don't say that person calls themselves a Christian. Why can they do that? Boy, look at them. That is not what we do, because we are being redeemed and renovated. And this is the point of Paul's message here in this part. He says, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and you've put on the new self, it's like putting on new clothes, which is your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Don't lie to each other. Don't do these things. Get rid of these things, because you are new. You're a new self and you're being renewed. This is what we call sanctification. This word renewed is in the Greek language, is a derivative of two words that imply to renovate. You know, you are God's renovation project as a Christian. You are right now not what you used to be, but you're not yet what you're going to be. You see, this is the way salvation works. It has happened, is happening, and will happen. It's like now, but not yet. You see, in salvation, we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and accepting the Savior. It is happening as we go from strength to strength as the Holy Spirit saves us each day of our lives. And it will happen when we enter into glory like Jesus. We are being renewed. And that person that you're saying, look at them and how they're acting, and they call themselves a Christian, is also being renewed. And we have to understand that. Christians are not perfect people. They are renovation projects. in the hands of Almighty God as God forms them and renews them and renovates them, body, soul, and mind. And as I kept pondering all this and what Paul was really getting at, right in the very middle of this, chapter 3, jumped right out, where he says to them, you've put on the new self, and you're being renewed. You see, you're being renewed. I don't know about you folks, but that's comforting to me. Because when the enemy tries to discount me, discourage me, and attacks me, that you're no good, you can't do this, you're not making a difference, you're worthless, I say back to the enemy, you're right, but I have a Savior who loves me and gives me worth and gives me strength and gives me power and loves me and someday will take me into his loving arms for all eternity. Because this is what the Bible tells us. This is littered through the New Testament in Paul's writings and the writings of others about sanctification, about being renewed, about the earthly, fleshly desires and how they affect us as Christians, but that we're being renewed or sanctified as we go along in that journey. So when we get to these points and we look at this list and we say, I don't want to read that because that's me. Paul's talking about me. I'm supposed to be a new creation in Christ, but I keep doing the things that I don't want to do like Paul did. Wretched man that I am. I'm so guilty. I feel so dirty. I can't even go to church. I can't even look at certain people because this makes me feel guilty. I say, let's deal with our sin and let's deal with our guilt and understand that God's Holy Spirit is working in us to sanctify us and renewing us each and every day. That's the Christian journey. That's why we come to church. It's part of the renewing and the renovation as we go on in our lives. We're being renewed in the power and presence of God. I have to go on. I could preach for an hour on sanctification because I think this is the least understood and the least taught doctrine in our Christian churches today. Is sanctification, because the world wants to say you're guilty, and because you did one thing wrong, you're not a Christian and you're no good. When in fact, that's not biblical at all. The Bible says we have these earthly desires, you see, and we need to do our best to put them to death, to do away with them, to rid ourselves, to take them off, like taking dirty clothes off. I wish Paul would have been a more specific here in giving us a list of ways to do this. But for each of us, it's different. And I understand that that's why Paul doesn't, because he's not getting into those particular sins and how to do that. He's saying you're being renewed. So live like you're being renewed, like a new person. In Romans chapter 7, he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. I'm sold as a slave to sin. Paul says this, the apostle Paul, I'm a slave to sin. I'm carnal, I'm in the flesh. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, that's the thing that I do. See, I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Imagine that battle Paul felt or fought, the wrestling in his soul, mind and spirit and body. He says, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. In other words, he's saying, I know better inside, but my body seems to want to do something different. And it's the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner. But a wretched man I am, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to emphasize how Paul begins the next section in Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. God does not condemn you. Jesus does not condemn you. He loves you and he wants to help you through that journey. He doesn't want you feeling guilty, because frankly, folks, those sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to the cross. They're not being nailed to the cross daily. They were nailed to the cross when Jesus died there. Even the sins you're going to commit tomorrow, that I'm going to commit next week, today even, or next month or next year, they were nailed to the cross. And I know they're already forgiven. All I need to do is turn back to Jesus and ask him to cleanse me. And what's he do? He throws me in the washing machine. He cleanses my soul and tells me there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the comfort I see Paul trying to tell them here this morning. Don't believe these guys. Don't believe this teaching. It's what you do, the works that you do, and all these funny ideas do not make you special in the eyes of God. But instead, keep your mind and your heart focused on heaven and heaven's desire for your life through Jesus Christ. Get rid of all this garbage that you're doing in your life. Work at it day by day, because you're being renewed and renovated as one of God's chosen people, which we'll get to next week, what that means about being one of God's chosen people. And more, even more comfort. So as Paul starts out with the negative in this letter, and really pounding on these negative teachings and these negative teachers and what was going on, now he has this pivotal point where he transforms into comforting the believers and saying, we've got to work at this. We've got to work at subduing this, making it lifeless and powerless in our lives by turning to Christ, focusing on Christ, having our hearts and our minds on Jesus, and being allowing him to transform us and renew us. I'm going to finish this morning. I think this is the last thing I have real quickly. I want to finish with Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this scripture. I love the way he words these things sometimes. Your life is in Christ. Your life is in Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God's about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life was custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. And then he goes on to complete what Paul said. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, man, woman. We're all one in Jesus Christ. Sin stains us. The Bible teaches us that. Sin stains us, like wearing dirty clothes. And we need constant cleansing, which Christ offers to us. And as we go through life with this constant cleansing going on, we're being renewed in spirit as the body decays. And someday we'll die. And you know what's going to happen when that takes place? If you read Revelation, God's going to put a new robe of righteousness on us. He's going to reclothe us in heaven with him, with clothing that will never wear out and no longer be affected by the earthly or fleshly nature. It's our battle, folks. It's reality. It's what we go through as Christians. We know we go through it. Not alone. We go through it with each other. We go through it with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us, giving us strength and perseverance. We go through it with God's word to comfort us and encourage us and help us through those steps. And we go through it knowing, and yes, we can know, the hope that is in Christ Jesus and Him alone, that when we are worn out and when we die, we will be completely renovated, completely made brand new, and receive a robe of righteousness from our God who no longer condemns us as we deal with our sin. Let's pray.